Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. You feel you're a great conversationalist. You are.
Oh, well, thank you, and so are you.
Do your friends view you as a great conversationalist? What does it take to make a great conversationalist? Some may say, what do you mean by conversationalist? According to dictionary.com, conversationalist is defined as a person who enjoys and contributes to good conversations, an interesting person in conversation. Dictionary.com also defines conversation as informal interchange of thoughts, information by spoken words. Oral communication between persons, talk.
Soliloquy,
thank you. A conversationalist is someone who is good with his words or her words. So let's talk about seven ways and seven keys to winning conversations. This is important in every area of your life.
It is, especially if you're trying to win the lost.
That's
and
it.
Help the found while they're still around. That's it. Anyway.
First, be interested in who you're talking to. If you're willing to trade your time for your life, after all, time is your life.
That's right.
To have a conversation with someone, then your interest needs to be real. Truthfully, on a spiritual level, you should be interested in what they have to say. Because, like you, they are born-again child of the Most High God.
Romans 8:17 in the King James Version says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
If the conversation is a result of an appointment or a planned get-together, then find out what you can about the person you're meeting. Google their name. Check social media sites.
Second, focus on others instead of yourself. Listen to what they have to say. In every conversation we have, there will be some people who spend your entire time talking about their problems. And while that might not be the best, you know, at the art of conversation, while they may not be, we need to be.
And we need to understand.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, remember that these are people who are no doubt hurting and need an understanding ear. That's what oftentimes we are called to be. We owe them the courtesy of listening because they are part of the body of Christ. And at some points, even when they're not part of the body of Christ.
That's true.
If we're led to them.
Might help them become one.
That's right. If we're led to them, if we're in conversation with somebody, I can assure you God's in it. Ephesians 4:15-16 Classic Amplified says, rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. Enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way and in all things into him, who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For because of him, the whole body, the church in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knitted together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied. When each part, with power adapted to its need, is working properly in all its functions, it grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. So just imagine how God feels sometimes listening to each of us. Maybe, bellyache about what's going on. But he does so with patience and love. And we should be no less in other conversations with other people.
Third, don't be argumentative. Don't be argumentative. There are people who enjoy arguing with anything, about anything, with anybody. Even though they know next to nothing about anything.
About so it seems.
For whatever psychological reason, some people would rather argue than eat. But that's not what the Word of God says we're to do. It says what we're not to do. 2 Timothy 2:23-24, Classic Amplified. but refuse. Shut your mind against having nothing to do with trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid controversies over ignorant questionings, for you know that they foster strife and breed quarrels. Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome. Fighting and contending, instead he must be kindly to everyone and mild-tempered, preserving the bond of peace. He must be a skilled and suitable teacher, patient and forbearing, and willing to suffer wrong. Now listen to 2 Timothy 2:24, this time in the Living Bible. It says, God's people must not be quarrelsome. They must be gentle, patient, teachers of those who are wrong.
Fourth, elevate the conversation. We can eliminate the words quit, can't, try, failure, negative, and compromise from our vocabularies. Why? Because they don't lead to the end we want, do they?
No, they don't.
We need to guard our hearts, for out of the abundance of it, the mouth speaks. And here's an admonition in Ephesians 4:29.
A strong one.
A strong one, that is for sure. Ephesians 4:29 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. Speaking about the pure and the powerful and the positive from the word of God, and really over every person and situation that we deal with, is just going to bring up our lives as well as theirs. You know, too often we try to bring God down to our way of thinking and speaking, as opposed to elevating our level of thinking and speaking to his.
Amen. Fifth, don't criticize or judge. Instead, give compliments. Everyone is entitled to their opinion, even if it's wrong. This is especially true when it comes to politics. I've discovered over the years that sometimes the person most passionate about a cause or politician does so without logic or facts. Don't belittle anyone because of their conversation. Truthfully, you don't have to. They'll do it for themselves. Respect other people's point of view. Their space. No in-your-face conversations about their personal choices. However, do compliment other people sincerely. Encourage them in their faith. Always put the people, well, try to always put people in the best light. Speak an encouraging word daily. It is our scriptural responsibility. Hebrews 3:13, New International Version. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. See, there's a benefit here. When we encourage others, it helps us.
That's right.
What the scripture says. If we look, we can always find something good to say about others. Do not flatter the person. That's a sin. But find ways in which to encourage them. If you ask God, he will reveal things you can say in sincerity. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage, admonish, exhort one another, and edify, strengthen, and build up one another, and just doing that.
Sixth, ask questions. The best way to find out what's important to a person is to ask them questions. The kind of questions we ask will allow us to steer the direction of the conversation also, which is helpful. But ask meaningful questions. For instance, asking someone about their, or if they ask you really, about your zodiac sign indicates two things. One, this is going to be a very shallow conversation. And two, they lack spiritual depth. But that's not what mature believers would ask anyway. So we need to start off with simple questions. One of them might be, what have you been doing since the new year?
And Monday morning is going to be, what's your favorite Super Bowl commercial?
Well, there you go. So, you know, or where do you go to church? Or what, you know, who do you listen to on the TV or the net with, you know, preachers or blogs read that you read. Which minister does the most for you? So, and what we've been reading lately, that's always opens an interesting conversation, or the best sermon you've heard recently. So the point of it is it's important to learn about Jesus. Let me put it that way, because he was a master at asking questions. And if you read the red letter edition to the Bible, you'll find that Jesus asked over 173 questions during his earthly ministry that have been recorded in the Word. And while a number of the questions he asked were interesting, it's even more interesting to know why he asked them. You know, the Lord asked questions because he wanted his listeners to think. It facilitates learning, and in the learning process in each one of us when we're asked a question. Without a doubt, one of the best learning methods is to ask questions. After all, this technique was utilized by the greatest teacher of all, our Lord and Savior. There are at least four recorded instances where he asked his disciples, "What do you think?" Do you think he didn't know what they thought? He wanted to provoke their thinking. He also asked, "How think he? Won't he?" as well as other word choices, you know, involve the disciples and us in a parable and to provoke their thinking. In Matthew 21, verse 28, Classic Amplified, is an example of how Jesus asked questions. He said, "What do you think?" There was a man who had two sons. He came to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." You know, if we're spending time with someone, we need to give thought to the questions that we might ask them. And if you read that scripture, which is very interesting, you would learn an awful lot.
Amen.
In that Matthew 21, yeah, scripture, wow, it's interesting.
How would you respond if Jesus said to you, "What do you think?" And that's actually what he's saying every day in the Word. Seventh, seven more things about winning conversations. Number one, do ask a series of yes and no questions. Ask open, but if you ask open-ended questions, that'll keep the conversation moving.
That's right.
Number two, be attentive while they speak, even if what they're saying is of no interest to you. Wow.
It is to them.
Yep, it is to them. Don't be thinking about what you have to do next or looking around to see who else is in the room. In other words, maintain eye contact.
Number three, know when to speak and when to listen. And number four, keeps us really with what's happening in the world with other people.
You know, we don't watch network news programs.
Yeah, you don't want to do that before you go to bed.
I like Fox News, but I don't watch it anymore. It's rude for people to talk over other people.
That's right.
I just frankly don't have the stomach for it. I go to Drudge Report, where I can keep abreast of what's happening in the world. You need to find your own news source without wasting a lot of your time and getting mesmerized by what's being said on TV news.
Because most of it isn't true anyway.
That's exactly right. Number five, remember that a conversation's not a monologue. Limit yourself to 4 or 5 sentences and maybe 40 seconds in your responses. And don't get upset if the other person hogs the conversation.
They might need it.
They might.
Number six, you don't have to be right about everything or even have the last word. Sometimes just listening is the best way to go.
Absolutely. And number seven, be observant. Notice whether or not the other person is giving visual signs that the conversation is coming to an end. If you see any eye rolling or clock watching or foot tapping, you've worn out your welcome and your time. Speaking wearing out time, that's what we just have done on today's call. But this is important. Winning conversations are important in every area of your life.
Mm.
So think on these things.
Yes.
And till tomorrow morning at 7:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
8:30 Eastern,
yeah.
Sorry. It used to be 7:30 for us when we lived in Central Time.
Yeah.
But 8:30 Eastern, happy trails, and keep thinking rich thoughts.
God bless you. We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.